I'm acquiring before. It's fine. I get it. Oh, Travis. Thank you. In the choir room, Matt Bella, who I love, was leading prayer, and he prayed. He was praying for me and for the message, and he said, "Lord, we just bless Darren to be just full of it and just fun." Well, that's probably going to happen one way or another. So there you have it. Yeah. Well, I had a lot of things. You know, it goes sometimes. You have a lot of things that you want to say, and you're not quite sure which ones the Lord's going to make you say or release you to say. So I've got a lot of stuff here that I've been wanting to talk about, and I just trust God to make sense of it all. And I realize that regardless of what I say, God's leading it, then you'll hear whatever he wants you to hear anyway. So I'm just going to start. Everybody's got a scripture. Everybody's got a verse that becomes kind of like your guiding verse, something that that just keeps coming back to you. God speaks something to you through it in the Word, and you continue to hear it again and again and again, and you see it in everything. Sometimes somebody can give you that that guiding word, and two of my spiritual superheroes are in the room, and I'm really blessed. Bill Hart and Dale Gentry, and you've both given prophetic words just in the course of a service. You weren't necessarily giving them to me, but God was giving them to me through you. And I remember years ago, Pastor Bill was preaching a message, and he said, and a lot of you will remember this if you were there. This was, gosh, probably 15 to 18 years ago, something like that. And he said, whatever's happening, you don't have a right to be right. You only have a right to be, what did he say? Yeah, broken. You don't have a right to be right. You've got a right to be broken. And that for me was just a word that it's kept coming back as I deal with different things, different issues, problems that I have with people or problems that I have with this person that I keep carrying around with me all the time. But that's a word that has been just a guiding word in my life, and I thank you for that. And Dale, you preached a message. I think it was the first message that I heard you preach at Cathedral of Praise. And I remember you preached a message about Moses, and you said that, and it was called "What's in Your Hand." Remember, y'all remember that? Yeah. Oh my gosh, just blew me away. And you know, just Dale went through, you know, went through a part of Moses' story and went back to Moses saying, "Well, who am I that I could do this?" And God said, "Well, what's in your hand?" And you know, indicating to Moses that, "Well, I've already given you everything you need to do everything I've called you to do." And so if you're, I've gone back to that word. Thank you for that word. I've gone back to that word so many times. It just keeps coming back. Like, God, who am I that I could do this? Like, even this morning, who am I that I could come up and I could, you know, preach a message that would do anything for anybody, Lord? Who am I? And he continues to say to me, "Well, what's in your hand? I gave you a guitar. You know, you can sing and you can prophesy and you can help lead people into the presence of God because that's what I've called you to do. I'm allowing Bill to give you the mic so you can say some things and people will hear them. And more importantly, he's given us his Spirit and his Word. And I wanted to go back to just a guiding word. If everybody could turn to 1 Samuel. A guiding word for my life. I was mentioning sometimes people give you a word prophetically. You hear it. You hear the Word of God coming through someone who's ministering to you, and it just blesses you and comes back to you again and again. And I know you've all got certain scriptures that continue to come back to you. You see them in everything. And for me, this is one. If we go to 1 Samuel, and you all know the story of Samuel going to meet with Jesse and get his, you know, get a look at all his sons because he's going to find out which one is going to be the new king. And it's no secret where I'm going with this. You know, David was the one that they thought was least likely. You know, anybody ever felt like that before? Like, there's all these people that everybody's looking at and thinking about, and yeah, they're going to pick them. I'm here. Come look for the sheep. That's where I'll be if you need me. And if we go to, if you go to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 6. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab, which is a name that I can't pronounce, so I apologize to everyone, and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, and this is a word that it just gets me. The Lord said to Samuel, don't consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And that for me has been just a guiding word that I see it everywhere. I see it everywhere. It comes back to me. It's a reminder to me. You know, the Holy Spirit will use that one scripture to remind me sometimes when I'm kind of going off the mark and maybe I'm doing the right things, but, you know, the Spirit can tell, well, your heart's not really right there. You know, I can see that you're doing the right things, but why don't you get your heart right instead? You know, and he uses that scripture with me when I'm talking with other people and trying to get beyond just the things that they might be saying and into what it is, what's their motivation, you know? Going beyond just a word that somebody might give, you know, get insulted or you get talked to in a way that you might want to bristle at, but then you got to look at the heart. You think, okay, well, how's this person's heart? Because the heart, if somebody's confronting you verbally, it's not really about you. And it's not really about anything they want to say. It's about heart issues. It all comes back to the heart. Everything in our lives comes back to the heart. And I believe that God has always been more concerned with our motivations and with our heart than with the actual things that we're doing and saying. And just going back to a couple of things, you know, this is a really great time to be a part of the body of Christ and a part of, for me, it's a great time to be a part of this house in particular, because I feel like there are some things being, we're looking at things in a new way. You know, some of us are awakening to different windows on the same truth and just posing ideas about, well, but what if God is saying this? What if God is saying that? And we're at a time where we're in a transition. You know, we're in a transition from one movement of God to another. I mean, the word lately has been all about love. You know, love is the message. Love, it's a love revolution. Love is if we only had love, if we could all join together in love, let's love people like God loves people, and we'll see change and things like that. And what I love about that, if I can use the word love one more time, what I love about that is that it brings everything into a zone that honestly is a lot more comfortable for me. You know, I'm not a big theologian. I know that surprises all of you. I get that. I'm not well versed in, you know, I barely speak English. I don't, you know, I'm not reading the Bible in other languages. I'm reading and I'm asking God, what are you revealing to me through this? I'm not a super heavy doctrine guy, you know? I mean, I know what I believe. I know who my God is. I know who I am, and I know who he's revealing to me that I am day by day. But I've tried never to get hung up on differences of opinion about what it is that God is saying. I always just kind of bring it up to the Lord and say, well, what are you saying to me? You know, regardless of what you're saying to anybody else, God, what are you saying to me? Because that to me is what's true. And it brings me back to when I read this scripture in 1 Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel, don't consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. You know, Samuel's presented with some really awesome MMA style guys, you know, who look like they could go in the octagon and just wreck shop. They're tough. They're rough. They're the guys from 300 is how I always picture them, you know, like with the painted abs and everything. They got it going on. And then there's Dave, you know, who's not even welcomed into the room. And I think, wow. First of all, Jesse, if you knew what you had, oh man, if you just knew what God was about to do, and if you know, would it have changed any of the ways that Jesse had raised David? I'm not really sure, but man, you got these like superhero looking guys walking in the room, and they're standing there. And I know it didn't happen this way, but I always picture them marching in with armor, you know, ching 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 ching, and they're always like clinking and stuff. And Sam is like, ooh, wow, man, one of these guys is surely the king. Because let's see, what is a king going to need? A king's going to need strength. A king's going to need to be imposing. A king's going to need to lead people, and people want to follow someone who's good looking. They'll be swayed by the appearance of these guys, and that's pretty awesome. And I know he's not intending to go against what God wants, but that's just the way that we think a lot of times. Wow, that's really beautiful. That's really pretty. That's really strong. That looks the part. That must be the part. And the Lord says to him, the Lord doesn't look at things that man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And that brings me to, on Friday night, we were singing out and prophetically we were singing and all of that. And I started declaring unity among denominations, you know, because we are, whether we like it or not, we're a body of believers in Jesus that has divided ourselves. I don't think Jesus really necessarily wants us to be divided, fragmented, disagreeing, arguing, a kingdom divided against itself. You know, I don't think Jesus really wants that for us. I don't necessarily think that that's how God wants for us to do things, but that is yet the way that we do things right now. We find the things that are, we find the differences and we harp on those instead of finding the similarities and finding, well, what do we have that is the same? And let's build upon that. What do we have that is a common thread? What's a relationship that we have? How can we look at ourselves and see ourselves in each other? And that gets me back here. Lord doesn't look at the things that man looks at. Man looks at outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. It's the difference between grace and the law. It's the difference between grace and the law. The Lord looks at the heart. The Lord gives us grace. He, we talk a lot about, you know, the Old Testament, New Testament, the Old Covenant, the New Covenant, and when we get right down to it, the covenant that's based on faith and grace, that was the first one. That was the one that God made with Abraham. The law came in later because we asked for it, I guess. You know, the law came in later because we had a lot of difficulty following some things, so God laid down some guidelines. But it was never God's intention for the law to save anybody. It's not the law that saves us. It's grace. It's faith that saves us. It's those issues of the heart that draw us closer to God, not the outward issues. And I look at things from two different paradigms. My point, and I actually do have one, is that we tend to think, let me just try this on, I'm not sure how this works. We tend to think that the mind and the heart just should have no business together. I've heard that countless times. You know, the mind is an enmity against God. The mind's over here, the heart's here. Don't overthink things. You know, instead just feel your way through, you know. And boy, I've been thinking a lot lately that we need to maybe re-examine the connection that our minds and our hearts should have. You know? God gave us a mind. He gave me that. And I'm sure that he wants it to be used. probably by me. And if everything springs from an issue of the heart, well, it gets me thinking, what is it that tells our heart what it should feel? And I come back to, I can't remember if it was Emerson or Thoreau. I come back to, I think it's Emerson that said, man is what he thinks about all day long. Man is what he thinks about all day long. If I think that I'm no good all day long, then I'm no good. Because that's what I'm sure of. That's what I've thought myself into. Scripturally, we say that that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. But there's this real big connection between our thoughts and our hearts. We feel certain ways because there are certain things we've focused on. There are certain attitudes that we've had, but those attitudes come from the thoughts that we've adopted and gone over and over and over in our minds until we're convinced that that's our reality, right? And there's two different paradigms working. There's this paradigm there's man's paradigm, the way that we want things to work out, where the prevailing thought is, I'm not quite good enough. I don't really measure up. There's some things that I don't have. Those thoughts lead us to certain attitudes about ourselves. Those attitudes determine our actions. Those actions produce results that reinforce the thoughts that started them. Right? So if I think I'm no good, then I'll feel like I'm no good. My actions will result in things that tell me once again, see, I'm no good. And it just starts all over again. Romans 12:2 tells us, don't be conformed to that system, instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That way you can prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I will never walk in the will of God with my man mindset. I have to reboot everything in here. And we as a body of believers have to be conscious of that. We have to reboot what's happening in here. Because this is not, we think of the mind and the heart a lot of times as being separate, but man, if my mind's not right, my heart follows suit. And I have to be in control of what's happening. I'll have to let go and let God be in control of what's happening here so that here I can have the right attitude. I can produce right results and I can then see things that cause me to think, oh, you know what? I am good enough. God did make me special. He did make me beautiful. He did make me wonderful. He did make me the first and not the last, the head and not the tail. The things that he said about me, man, what if they're actually true? That's amazing. And we've got, you know, our thoughts become our attitudes. Our attitudes become our actions. Actions produce results that reinforce our thoughts. But what I see in 1 Samuel 16:7 is two different paradigms going on. Our paradigm is that we want to think about the things that we don't have. We want to look at things in the natural. We want to focus on the lack. And we're told very clearly, that's not what God's looking at. We want to change things from the outside in. We want, I was raised Catholic, and there were a lot of things in the Catholic Church that we had to do, right? And it's not just Catholicism. Every denomination has their own things that we're supposed to do in order to somehow please God. You know, even at times during worship here, I realize we're all free and it's all great and everything, but sometimes people do things that just mess with me a little bit, you know? And I think, oh man, I forgot we were all free. Darn it. Well, I can't call them on that. Man. Sometimes Samuel and I were coming home from, is it okay if I tell this? Perfect. None of you heard him say no, so it's awesome. So Samuel and I were coming home from Friday night service, and Friday night was really, just really cool. We had a couple of guys with acoustic guitars up here, and Samuel was playing percussion. Aaron McGinnis was playing percussion on this side. Corey Harrison was singing back there, and just prophetically, things were just happening. And we're on our way home, and Samuel says, texted my friend Hunter. And you did this during the service, right? After, oh, good. Because you were actually playing on stage during service, so don't text while you're playing percussion. And he said, I texted my friend Hunter and I told him, yeah, I'm at church right now. There's a guy crawling on the floor and he's wearing 3D glasses. And he just yelled, gooey. Wow. And I said, well, what did your friend say? What did Hunter say? And Hunter apparently texted back, yeah, that was me. It totally wasn't Hunter. But that got us thinking, man, we're weird. Maybe it just might be that we are a little weird. I mean, we are weird. We're an unusual people. That just cracked me up, you know. For someone who doesn't know us and get us, well, even people who know us may not get us, but for somebody to hear some outside person, yeah, I'm in the middle of church, to hear church, 3D glasses, crawling, and gooey all together. What four things don't belong together in a sentence? It'd be those four, right? And so this is a real challenge. This is the challenge that we're faced with day by day. Because in my mind, in my human perspective, I look at church, crawling on the floor, gooey, 3D glasses, woohoo, and just like nutty kind of behavior. And there's the altar boy inside of me that's thinking, we're going to get in so much trouble for this. We are so busted. We are totally not allowed to do this in church. And if I stay there too long, then my thought, that's not right, becomes an attitude. And next time I see, and you all know who that was, right? Okay, good. So next time I see Chris, you know, if I'm still in that mindset, then my thought, man, he's not supposed to do that, becomes an attitude. Oh, I hate it when he does that. I can't believe he does that. And it becomes an action, whether I speak it out to him or not. You know, it becomes an action. I physically may turn away. Or I may confront him about it. If I'm upset enough about it, if I've allowed myself to be in that worldly mindset enough, now that action would result in something that I'm not really sure that I would ever want to have. You know, that would be hurtful for somebody to be experiencing something in God and to be just overcome by his presence and have me come and say, what are you doing? That's not right. You can't say gooey. Even though, in Chris's defense, it was totally gooey. It really was. On Friday. It was, yeah. But that action results in a distance between me and someone else in the body. It results in a disconnect. And the next time I want to lead in the entire congregation in a particular song, or we're going somewhere, I run the risk then of having that one person say, I'm not going. Because what I do isn't just about me. It's about everybody I come in contact with. It's about my circle of influence. And so if I have the wrong mindset for too long, then I infect others with that mindset. And they begin to think things like, Darren's a jerk. I don't even like him. He's telling me to raise my hands. I'm not raising my hands, so what? What are you going to do, huh? It's not like you're coming down here. You're strapped up to a guitar. You're not going anywhere. I'll just stand here and just stare at you. But God's got, thank God, he's got a different way of doing stuff. Because my way of doing stuff, if I'm left to my own devices, it's that. I take a look at what I see in the natural, I make a judgment about it, and then I act on it, and then it all goes wrong. That has been my life history. right there. I make a snap judgment, I react poorly, and it goes wrong. But God's got a different way, thank him. Man, because that's the religious mindset. That's religion. My dad passed about 7 years ago, and he was just awesome. And he was actually excommunicated from his church. He was excommunicated from, I know, woo, he was not excited. He went into the Navy, and he was on a submarine and for about 6 months. And somehow they sent him a telegram. His church in Austin, it was the A-frame building next to Mattel Rancho down there. I can't remember what denomination that is. I think it's Lutheran. He was sent a wire on the submarine. He was in like the South China Sea, and he was told you're no longer a member here because you haven't paid your tithes regularly. I know. And he said, and this, when was this? This was like 1971, 72, something like that. And I remember him telling me, yeah, and you know, I got that telegram, and I was not really all that upset. You know, they went to a really great length to tell me that they didn't want me, and I was really okay with that. And he was, you know, it made him a little frustrated, I think, with the religious mindset, the churchy way of doing things. But he was also the man that told me when I first started coming here, Dad's a big reason why I'm still here. I first came to service. What was it, 1990 was my first service. I was wearing a suit. I know. I'm free. I was wearing a suit, and I remember this. I've told this story before, so I'll give you a really, really, really short version. But Larry Brown was leading worship. Eric was playing piano because that's just what he does. He's been there forever, right? And doing an awesome job and bringing anointing and glory raining down from his fingers and stuff. But I remember I was sitting right there where Isaac's sitting, around there. Yeah. And I looked over at Jennifer, who had been asking me to come to church with her for a while. And I looked over at Jennifer. We were about an hour and a half into a worship service. And I was raised Catholic. An hour and a half, we were already, I mean, we were out, we were eating, we were gone, you know. And I was looking at my watch thinking, we're never going to leave this building. You know, and I'm looking around, and everybody else is getting it. Everybody else is happy. They're joyous. They're praising. They're rejoicing. I'm like, God's got a really sick sense of humor, doesn't he? Because now I'm like, raise your hands. Lift your hands, everyone. My first service is like, I'm not raising my hands. I'm not doing none of that. And Jennifer said, are you enjoying the service? And I looked over, and I said, I see there's all these chairs here. And she said, yeah. And I said, do we get to use them? And she did, it was awesome. That was, once again, the wrong mindset. And she did this. She was like, she looks at me and she goes, yeah, you can use it anytime you want. And she turned and started worshiping. And I was like, I think I'm fine standing. I'm good. I'm okay. Yay, Jesus. Yay, Jesus. I was excited then. But it was, I went back home and I was talking to my dad, and he said, well, what happened? And I said, well, it was just weird. It was just really weird. You know, we sang for like 83 hours, and then, and I remember being, God does have a great sense of humor. I remember being annoyed. I said, and they just sang the same verse over and over and over. they must have sang one song for like a half an hour. I can't stand that. And so, and I said, it wasn't like church, Dad. And then like Jennifer's dad was like praying for people and people were like falling down and stuff. And I don't even get that. What's that even about, you know? And I was jaded. I was hardened, you know? And I remember my dad said to me, he said, hey, Darren, don't be quick to judge. That's not right. And I said, huh? Because you're supposed to agree with me right about now. You haven't even been there, Dad. And he said, oh, I've been there. not here, but I've been there, you know. And he said, my dad never told me the story until I came home really upset about this church. And he said, I remember going with a friend of mine to a tent meeting. And he said, those of you who know my dad probably have a hard time picturing dad at a tent meeting. And so he said, I remember I went in a tent meeting and the preacher was talking about, you know, getting saved. Do you want life to change and all that? And I thought, yeah. And I walked up and I said, what happened? I said, did you fall down? He goes, I must have, because I had to get back up about 30 minutes later. And he said, I just remember the preacher touched me on the head, and the next thing I knew, my friends were saying, that was cool, right? And like picking me back up. And I was like, Dad, you're one of them. You know? And but praise God that in that one encounter, I mean, because Dad didn't go to church regularly. He never went to a church like this regularly. You know, he was filled with the Spirit, didn't tell me about it. But he broke something off of me with that word. He said, and he followed it up with words I will never, ever forget. He said, Darren, just never, never forget this, which is probably why I haven't forgotten it. And I will never, ever forget it, Dad, because you said. He said, Darren, you know, don't be so quick to judge, because you came from a religious background. You came from religion. And religion's man-made. And, you know, faith is God. Religion's man-made. But faith, that comes from God. And I'm like, whoa. And so here I am. Because those words broke something off me, getting back to this, made me realize something. And when I say realize, getting into, what does that really mean? When you put that I-Z-E on the end of something, it means we put it into use. We put it into operation, right? If we're evangelizing, then we're putting into use that evangelistic gift, right? So if we're realizing something, then something just became our reality, right? Something that was not in my sphere of reality all of a sudden just became real. I hadn't thought of it before, and then when I realize it, it means, wow, now that's open for me. That has become my reality. That has become something that was previously shut off. Now the door's been open, and I can take it, I can hold it, I can grab it, I can do anything I want to with it, because now it's reality for me. So God and Dad made me realize something that I really badly needed to realize in order to be doing what he wants me to do, and that is that. That's it. I can't rely on that old mindset, because that old mindset leads to judgment, leads to broken relationships. It ultimately leads to death. And I don't want that. God's got a different way of doing things. And that's what I want to open up more and more and more to. And that's my prayer for the body of Christ, for all of us, not just this denomination. Wes had a great word on Friday. Oh, dude. I had a great word on Friday speaking about denominations. He said, you know, when we put D in front of something, it means that it's not there, right? So when we desensitize ourselves to something, we're not sensitive anymore. When we what's another good D word? When we defrost something, it's not frosty anymore. And when we denominate ourselves, we take away the name God gave us. And we put something else on ourselves that was never our name to begin with. And it's backwards. You know, the world works backwards from the way God works. God named us. He called us. He said, this is who you are. This is your identity. Everything that I say about you, it's true. And that's who I've made you to be. And then we go and we denominate ourselves. We take away the name he gave us, and instead we adopt a name that we were never intended to have. And now I'm Baptist, or now I'm Lutheran, or now I'm Catholic, or now I'm charismatic, or now I'm whatever. And that is my box that I put my God in. right? And my box fits neatly next to all the other boxes, but heaven forbid we should open up that box and let content spill out, because that's bad. We don't want that. And we denominate ourselves. We take away the name he gave us, and we give ourselves names that bring division and separate us out. And my prayer for myself, day by day, for us as a body, for the body of Christ, is that we would begin to take this really short passage to heart, 1 Samuel 16:7. Don't look at the appearance. The Lord doesn't look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And if I could just see the heart of people, sometimes it would be a little scary, actually. But how much more useful? How much more useful would that be, even if it's something you don't necessarily want to see? Even if you see something that saddens you a little bit, to be able to see the heart and not see just the actions? Because people can cover up some really messed up heart issues with some really nice actions. You know, we put on a great face. But if I can see through to the heart, Lord, let me see as you see. Let me not know any man after the flesh, but let me know them after the Spirit. Let me know them after their heart. Let their heart be evidence to me so that I can say the things that you would say, so that I can do the things that you would do. And that's what makes Jesus so powerful, you know? I mean, there's a lot of other things too. But that's one thing that makes Jesus really powerful is that, I mean, Jesus didn't follow, you know, the ministry guideline, how to win friends and influence people and, you know, how to build a big church and all that kind of stuff. That wasn't the issue. The issue was, I need to see in people's hearts, and I need to set them free from things in there. Because God looks at things from the inside out, and his paradigm is to change the heart, change the motivation, and from that point of view, then the actions can change. Actions are the least of God's concern, I really believe. God doesn't care about the actions. The actions are just a symptom. The actions are just putting on an identity that he never gave you and acting out of that because your thoughts tell you, well, this is the way I should act. I never measure up to what God wants me to do. I never measure up. I'm never good enough. I don't have any friends. Gosh, all these other people are operating great stuff. I'll never have that. Yeah, you're kind of right, especially going about it that way. But Lord, renew our minds. Renew our minds. Renew our minds, Lord, so that we can see ourselves not as more than we are, but so that we can see ourselves as you see us. Lord, renew our minds. Renew our minds. Renew our minds. Let us let go of our earthly paradigm. God, let's take up a kingdom paradigm. Put on your mindset into us, Lord. I want my thoughts to be the thoughts that you think about me. You called me holy. You called me pure. You called me your bride. I'm your child. I'm an heir. I'm a son. Let me have those thoughts burning in my mind, God. Because as those thoughts burn in my mind, then my attitudes will change. Lord, all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible. With man, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. And God, if that's my attitude, then my actions are going to lead me into the supernatural. My actions will lead me into that's possible because God said it was possible. And the results will lead me back to an affirmation of the thought that, yes, you created me to be you on this earth. You created me as a part of your body to do the things that you want done, to say the things that you want said, to reach out and bless the people that you feel need reaching out and blessing at that moment. God, use me, use me, use me, but let my mind be your mind. Let my thoughts, God, be your thoughts. Let my attitudes be your attitudes so that my actions can show your glory on this earth. Use us, O Lord. Use us, O Lord. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. And so, I think it would be a really good idea. I've told you before, I'm terrible at closing anything. I just, You know, well, bye is pretty much my close. But I think it would be really, really great right about now if we could all just join in together in unity and just sing a declarative song about who he made us to be. The song is going to help us get into the right mindset. So
I'm going to call the band back up.
I never get to say that. It's so fun. And Kelvin, can you put up "We Are" on the screen? Thank you, sir. And just the before we start playing, just the basis of this song, I've just been burning with this word. You know, we are more than we have believed that we are. We're not lost. We're not weak. We're not broken at all. Because God said that we are the first, not the last. That we are his body. We have his blood coursing through our veins. We have his DNA. We are spirit. We are his hands and his feet and his voice upon the earth. And if he says that that's who we are, and we're not walking like that, then it's not his fault. It's not him that needs convincing.
That's right.
God is thoroughly convinced that you are everything that he says you are. And if it takes repeating this over ourselves again and again and again throughout the course of our lives, then that's what it takes. But Lord, let me see myself the way that you see me. Let me be who you've called me to be. And so, let's sing this song. We'll close that way. Is that all right? Okay.